The gospel lesson for this Baptism of the Lord Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, from the third chapter, and I'll be reading verses 13 through 17. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new that's being spoken into your life and your heart at this point in time. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, friends, last Sunday was the first Sunday of a new year, and that year is 2020. I can't believe it. 2020 is here, but it's not just 2020. It's 2020
AD.
2020 AD, as in Anno Domini, as in 2020, year of our Lord. Hold that thought. Let me ask you, have you ever thought about New Year's as a religious holiday, a spiritual holiday, as Anno Domini? Okay. Well, maybe we should, because the launch of a new year is really sacred time. It's sacred time because for some reason, at the beginning of every single year, we get the sense that we have been afforded the opportunity, the permission to just start over. To start over. Last week I polled you and I said, how many of you have made New Year resolution? I think one of you had. I was a little bit disappointed. But I know many of you have, because some of you shared it with me on the way out. But have you ever thought about it theologically, that at the heart of New Year's resolutions, there is grace, and there is forgiveness, and there is recreation? Sacred stuff. Well, I think it's what makes a New Year such maybe a mystical time for many of us, an introspective time, a celebratory time, every single year. Remember, I call it, and again, I said one of the services today, I said, I don't think I came up with this on my own because it's too creative, but somewhere I got this idea of calendrical absolution. Calendrical absolution. And sometimes this calendrical absolution leads us into new and sustainable ways of doing life. Okay, so we start the new year. We start the new year with a sense of what could be, all the possibilities that lie before us. And we like that. And that works for us year after year. And it works for us in this place. It works for us liturgically. You see, the scripture text for last week, which was Epiphany of the Lord Sunday, was the passage from Matthew 2. If you remember that, the arrival of the Magi to Bethlehem. Now, we read it last week, but I want you to think about it just for a second with me here. In that story, the Magi travel a great distance to find the baby Jesus. They come from a distant land. They're Gentiles. They're outsiders. And they come all this way, and then they lay their best before the newborn king, right? They lay their best before Jesus. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, all symbolic of what the best that the world has to offer. In other words, here are our lives. You may have them. Do with these gifts as you see fit. Well, with that in mind, I would like to offer this for your consideration. If you make resolutions, if you've even thought for a moment that you want to do things a little bit differently this year than last, then you're doing the same thing as the Magi did, right? You're consciously saying, here is my life. I'm laying it before you. I'm going to give you my best. And this is what my best looks like. in 2020, Anno Domini, the year of my Lord. Well, as I said last week, this conscious decision to go in a different direction, in a new direction, it's not really about changing who we are. It's really about remembering who we are. That's what I was just talking to the kids about a second ago. And just let that sink in for a moment in your mind. It's not about changing who you are. It's about remembering who you are. In other words, you don't have to make a long, elaborate list of things. No. You don't need those resolutions, really. You just remember who you are at the core of who you are. You know, that image that is stamped on your soul indelibly. And then when you remember that, maybe when you see that stone that you're going to receive later, then everything will follow from that. And you'll remember it's 2020 A.D. Last Sunday was Epiphany of the Lord Sunday. And as you know, during Epiphany, the message is something like, God's presence has been made known among us in the one born in Bethlehem. So in response, we come and we offer our best. Well, today is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And on this day, the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany, we read about Jesus' baptism. And that's perfect, you know. We remember the story of Jesus coming to the Jordan to John and being baptized and then launching into his ministry. So today, at the beginning of a new year, we come to the Jordan, metaphorically speaking, and we offer our best and we launch out into new ways of living, launch into new ministries. You know, it's not just about Jesus' baptism. It goes further than that for us. It's also about remembering our own baptism, remembering who we are, okay? Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my son." It's about identity. Paul put it this way, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body." You see, it's not just about Jesus' ministry. It's about our ministry. In the opening chapter of the Epistle of James, we read this, "You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness." And it goes on and it says a few sentences later, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves." And listen to this, "For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in the mirror, for they look at themselves and then on going away immediately forget what they are like." Friends, today is about remembering what we are like. Now, I would suspect that many of us in this room today, maybe most of us even, have been baptized at some point in our life. We've been baptized into the body of Christ. Maybe you were baptized as an infant. Maybe you were baptized as a young adult when you made your public profession of faith. In the United Methodist Church, we baptize people of all ages, and we understand baptism to be what we call a sacrament. And by that, we mean it's something through an act through which God's grace is imparted to the recipient in a unique and profound way. It's not purely a subjective act that is dependent upon our comprehension. No, because we believe in reality, who is able to comprehend the magnitude of God's grace that draws us into God's self? Nobody. Nobody. It's an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace signifying to us the connection between our lives and the life of God. It's one of the great mysteries. We don't understand it, we just know it. Again, the Apostle Paul. "As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's no longer Jew or Greek. There's no longer slave or free. There's no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." Friends, the goal of Epiphany is remembrance. Remembering who we are as members of the community of faith. Members of the body of Christ. Remember, we think we exist here at Blessed Grove to be the body of Christ. Literally. You know, We have been baptized. We have been christened. We have been Christ named. We have been incorporated into a community that identifies with and then attempts to live into the story of Jesus. Attempts to make that story manifest in the way we go about our life. Okay, listen to this part of the baptismal liturgy for adults. According to the grace given to you, will you remain a faithful member of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representative in the world? Christ's representative in the world. And then a moments ago when Parker was baptized, the Holy Spirit worked within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ by the grace of God. Friends, centuries ago, Christians, especially those in the Anglican tradition, began using the new year as a time to encourage individuals to re-examine their lives, re-examine their lives of faith, and then offer them a time for reaffirmation or recommitment of those lives. So in a few minutes, as I mentioned already, you'll be invited, those who wish to do so, don't feel compelled to do this by any means, but those who wish to do so are welcome to come down the center aisle of the church. At the front, you'll be handed a stone. And that stone, we want you to go and place that somewhere in your life, as I said to the kids, that you will see on a regular basis. And it serves as a reminder that you are a child of God. That's who you are at your very core. But we do our best to forget that day in and day out. But just see it and say, I am a child of God. Then go about your day. And I guarantee it will change your life. It will change you. Well, so today we pause to remember that defining story. So today we remember, in the words of Paul, that we have put on Christ. It's a big thought. It's a very big thought, but it's symbolized for us. It's recognized through this sacrament we call baptism. The definitive work for us in the United Methodist Church is written by a friend of mine, Gail Felton. She passed away a few years ago, but she wrote a book called The Gift of Water, and it kind of summarizes our tradition's understanding of this sacrament. She writes, "Baptism, then, is not so much event as it is process. Like the Christian life, for which it is both empowerment and metaphor, baptism is dynamic, not static, a journey, not a destination, a quest, not an acquisition. Baptism is promise, the fulfilling of which requires a lifetime." This past week, Alana saw someone had posted New Year's resolutions. Was it someone we know? Was this one of those things going around? And as I read it and I thought about it, I said, that's worth sharing. That's worth sharing as I think about kind of being recreated. This particular person wrote, "This year, I want to be more like Jesus." That's their resolution, be more like Jesus. Then they enumerated how they were going to do that. Six things they were going to do. Here they are. "I want to hang out with sinners. I want to upset religious people. I want to tell stories that make people think. I want to choose unpopular friends. I want to be kind, loving, and merciful. And finally, I want to take naps on boats." You can get a concordance and check that out. Anyway, friends, the beauty of our story is the fact that we get to live into the story. And for whatever reason, a new year seems to be a good time to start remembering that and to begin moving along in that story a little bit further. So I just have to remind you that this year is not just 2020. It's 2020 A.D. Friends, remember your baptism. And be thankful. Thanks be to God. Amen.